website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board as we face the issues. Your dialogue and discussion, your input is invited and welcomed. And lest I forget it, let me remind you, as I do each and every day, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about the meltdown of morals. The meltdown of morals. The subject today is simply that of Andy Stanley's departure from Christianity. Andy Stanley, famous name. His father, Charles Stanley, is in heaven today. I don't know, someone said recently maybe God took Charles Stanley home so that he wouldn't witness the departure from traditional Christianity that his son is now doing, or that is taking place in his life. We're calling it today the meltdown of morals. There's a text in the scripture that I call our attention to. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21, to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're finding that today. We're finding a culture that's upside down. Just a few years ago, things that are being done today, just a few years ago, would have been called immoral. Just a few years ago, things that are being done today that are now being called wrong, by the federal government in particular, are those things that are right. We're seeing an upside-down culture. And I kind of equate it to, in part, what is called the woke culture, where there's the mindset that we're going to streamline everything, change everything, strip away everything that's morally, ethically, biblically correct. But as we face the issues, we stand on the standard of the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. That's the standard that we're to use. So today we're going to be asking the question, what is your position? Where do you stand on the issue of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, better known in modern culture as the gay home lifestyle or the homosexual lifestyle? Is it biblical? Is it sin? How should it be treated from the Christian perspective? What should churches do, pastors, Christians? How should we respond? Should it be embraced? Should it be celebrated? Should it be condemned? Should it be called sin? Should it simply be called an alternative lifestyle? Should it be viewed as a person can live in a sodomite lifestyle and still be considered a Christian? Is that possible? Andy Stanley says it is. We're going to pick that apart today, analyze it, dismantle it, look at it from a biblical central biblicist worldview, and make the determination. Love to have your input. Love to have your thoughts. You can counter it if you like. I'd like to have biblical evidence as to why you would counter some of the statements we'll make today. But we base our decision not on political correctness, not on denominational dogma, but we make our decision in the arguments set forth on Let's Face the Issues according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word does not change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no nuances in God's Word. Sin is either sin or it's not sin. So as we analyze that, we want to look at the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." May I commend that to you? It was the secularist George Orwell made a profound statement in the dystopian novel called 1984. Orwell said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And right now, ladies and gentlemen, and even not just the political culture, not just in societal norms, but in theological, doctrinal, biblical arenas, you'll find those that want to challenge truth. Andy Stanley's doing that. Andy Stanley's saying that we need to jettison, that's the Christians, need to jettison the Old Testament, that it's no longer relevant. Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to the Christian life in 21st century. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look at and analyze what's being said and need to come to grips with what the Bible says and the position that we're going to take theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. There's no room for the mamsy pamsy, loosey-goosey, I'm going to believe part of this and not part of the other. Either the Bible is true or it's false. Either the Bible is relevant or it's not. Either the Bible is inspired, infallible, and inerrant or it's not. We need to take a stand. And it's truth that we're looking for. Unfortunately, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that truth is determined by each individual and their own version of truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, as the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement, he said this, and I quote, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. This is the reason we must go back to the centrality of truth." It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a profound statement himself. He said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Challenging, defending, standing for truth. Loving it, listening to it, learning it, seeking it, telling it, living it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're living today in the day and era when you stand for truth and defend the truth. Some may see this as aberrant and not relevant, but I believe we're in an era today that for multitudes, if you stand for truth, defend the truth, there is a danger for your life. Now, that would not have been so 20, 30, 40 years ago, but it is very relevant and true, I believe, today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. That same knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is available for your questions and comments in relationship to the hurricane preparedness equipment and the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordains to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about the meltdown of morals in America. Subtitle, if you want to call it a subtitle, Andy Stanley's Defection from Christianity. Andy Stanley and that ministry at North Point Church in, I believe it's in Alpharetta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. I believe they tout having about 40,000 members. Of course, that's with all of the, quote, satellite churches that's under that agenda, under that banner. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us, the Bible teaches us, the Bible cautions us with what is sin and what is not. The Bible challenges us to be obedient to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And the Bible warns us about the day and time that right would be called wrong and wrong would be called right, night, day, and day, night. And we're in that era today. We're in that position today, ladies and gentlemen. And today the entire culture appears to be in a position of determination to change the culture, to destroy the morals, to lower the standards, to refuse anything that's called ethics and values. We're in a state today, ladies and gentlemen, of the meltdown of morals in our nation. I believe it says never before. Now, I know there are those out there that say, well, you know, there have been difficult times in history past. There have been road bumps in the road of life many, many times. You're right. Absolutely. But I don't believe we have ever seen an era where it appears to be a decline in morals and ethics and values, where it seems to be a fast track of destroying faith, family, and freedom as we're witnessing today in our society. This meltdown of morals in America, I believe that the speed that we're in, the trajectory that we're on, is in part, not totally, but in part, promulgated by the Biden administration. The entire Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, have simply rejected anything that would be acknowledged as biblical morals. Hear me. Listen carefully. The Biden administration has not come out to say that we're against the Bible, but the whole culture in the Biden administration pushes the culture for America. I've said for many, many years, a nation will never rise above the status, the position, the morals, the ethics, and the values of the nation's leaders, that's political and spiritual. If you find spiritual and political leadership that's debauched and have left the moral standards that our nation was founded on, left the moral standards, the ethical standards of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we're doomed for failure. It's an impossibility to think that we can survive as a nation and yet undermine the very foundation of our nation. Psalms 11:3 is very, very clear. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the Christian, the righteous, do? And ladies and gentlemen, our moral, ethical, biblical foundations are being eroded, being deteriorated and eviscerated each and every day in America. For example, what do you think it's called if it's not the lowering of the standards, the reduction of morals and ethics and values, the push for the what's called gender fluidity? Gender fluidity. God's Word said He created male and female. God's Word said He created two genders, not 157 genders. God's Word declares it's to be the husband and wife, one man, one woman, one lifetime. But ladies and gentlemen, God declares it. God says there's two genders. And God's purpose and plan, according to the Scripture, is for man to marry woman and to procreate others that can also submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today, there appears to be no moral standards. when it comes to the barbaric butchering of our youth? What's moral about cutting off healthy body parts? What's moral and ethical about taking a teenager or youngster? They've been doing this to kids as young as 5, 6, 8, 10 years old, determining through the so-called health care of that child in a public school setting, where the teachers, the counselors, the school counselors, then turn that child over to a warped-minded, non-ethical, immoral medical society that will butcher boys and girls, removing healthy body parts. What's moral about that? We're talking about the meltdown of morals and a building to the point of setting the big picture, setting the table, that we see this in culture around us. We see this meltdown of morals in every aspect of what we see and do. Turn on television. I roll the channel simply to find a news outlet. I'm a news freak. I want to see what's happening globally. I want to hear what the anchors want to break down for you. As I told somebody recently, I don't want them to give me the news to break it down, as they call it. Just give me the news. Let me break it down. Let me analyze it. Let me scrutinize it. But ladies and gentlemen, you can roll the channel on the television set and you find that there's no morals. We have no morals today. There are no ethical standards and moral standards for what's shown on television. You have those today that are addicted to TikTok. There are no moral standards, no ethical standards. And so if we have an entire society of airheads, young people, that's willing to listen to anything that is promulgated and pushed by way of radio and television, what can you expect? If along with that you're finding in our schools and the academic associations and the schools, whether it be grade school, high school, or in college or university, you find teachers, professors that are pushing the immoral, ungodly, unethical lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Title of the article says, Washington students marched to principal's office and lectured for wearing clothing, garments, a shirt that says there's only two genders. This article says, another video has gone viral of students, this time in Washington, being disciplined by a teacher for expressing their opinion that there are only two genders. The students were marched to the office of by the teacher, who lectured them that they were spreading hate speech and promoting exclusion for wearing shirts emblazoned with the phrase, there are only two genders. The footage captures the teacher decreeing that pride is synonymous with inclusivity, while their options reflected the opposite. One of the students is heard responding, but that doesn't make sense. There are only two genders, before being interrupted by the teacher stating, no, biologically, that's simply not true. Scientifically, that's not true. So here's the teacher in the academic setting that's chatting, demoralizing the student body by saying that scientifically and biologically, it's not true that there's just two genders. And punishing students for taking the stand that they're only two genders, which is a biblical stand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the meltdown of morals. And the subtitle, if you want to call it that, is Andy Stanley's defection from biblical Christianity. He has defected. He's crossed the line. You can no longer call him a central biblicist Christian. It's an impossibility. I've got a sheaf of papers half inch thick with different articles about Stanley's statements, and I've been following that down through the years of what he said and what he's done. He has crossed the line with now embracing, now promulgating, now celebrating the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle from the pulpit in his church and inviting sodomites to come in and to lecture the congregation on how to embrace the LGBTQ community. I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Ellenbud. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. I would hope that Charles Stanley's congregation has learned much from his years of wisdom and preaching to them and that they will reject that. I was just thinking about that headline whenever the teacher, the headline of the actual news article saying the teacher was questioning their opinion on two sexes. And biblically, I can back up two things today. One is there isn't a single individual human being who resides on planet Earth from this moment to all of time past that was not born of a woman. And that includes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
That was born of a woman. So there are just two genders. The second thing I have heard, and I've heard you and Pastor or Dr. Davis speak, and I brought this up on a prior radio show, that a lot of the LGBTQ community likes to use that part where David's soul was knit with Jonathan. And I would like to add this. Jonathan and David were soldiers. They were soldiers at war. They were in combat arms. Mm-hmm. And anybody that has been in combat arms that knows a brother that was with them in combat arms, it's a completely different, I know this for a fact, I've been there. When you look at that man to your left and that man to your right, and you have put your life in their hands, that promotes a bond that's deeper than what you call love as far as that goes between a man and a woman there. It's nothing homosexual about it at all. It has everything to do with honor, trust, solidarity with your fellow soldier. It's completely undescribable. You have to experience it to know that.
Absolutely. And Jim, one of the things that you have the sodomites that are doing today, listen to this carefully, they're saying, some of their mantra, that Jesus never spoke about homosexuality, that the Apostle Paul and others may have, but what they say is not biblical. Only what Jesus said would be considered directive from the Scripture. How do you respond to, excuse me, stupid statements like that?
Well, I'm saying that if you're going to base your very limited scriptural view on the words in red, then you are not being opened fully to the Holy Spirit, because even Jesus himself did not deny the scriptures. He began his ministry reading straight from Isaiah in the synagogue. So all scripture is proof and reproof and is good stuff. Just plain and simple. Right. It's the owner's manual for the human mind.
Absolutely. We can't get around that. You can deny it.
No.
You can dilute it. You can challenge it. You can disobey it. It still doesn't change it one iota. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet I'm always amazed by these that want to meld, M-E-L-D, meld biblical theological truths with societal norms and try to weigh out to encourage the world to be a part of the church rather than taking a stand on thus saith the word of God. And that's what we see happening, Jim. We see denomination after denomination today. In fact, I don't know of a single denomination that's not in some part, partially or fully, embraced the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda. And that's the goal, has been the goal since the early 70s of the sodomite movement. I am saddened by it, and I'm more saddened as the days go by to see churches and denominations going that route in order to be part of the woke culture and to bend over to reach out to a world and bring the world into the church rather than the Word of God being the standard. So, Jim, we need to keep looking up. Understand that our redemption draweth nigh. In fact, the more we see of this unfolding, the closer we are to the day that the church will be raptured out of this old world. But Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your comments, for your input. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for
God
calling.
God bless you, Doctor.
God thank bless you. Have a good day. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. And I know you had a blessed weekend, and I know you have a blessed week.
Amen.
I just went, I stay downtown. And you see these signs that say Obamacare. It's no, you don't have to pay a fee or anything like that. I think they're trying to do that to get rid of some of the homeless people because they're going to encourage them to have sex change operations, and they're going to have babies killed. But I'm saying to myself, how Obamacare come in on the Crazy Joe administration unless they approved it?
Well, Obamacare is full-fledged socialism today. If I can digress for a moment, it is full-fledged social medicine today. And we're finding more and more of the activity pushing toward that. And it is in full force today simply because in 2017-2018, when President Trump was trying to push the cancellation of what was called Obamacare, Kevin McCarthy and Paul Ryan and others blocked and prevented, along with Mitch McConnell, blocked and prevented the cancellation of Obamacare, full affront to what President Donald J. Trump had said that he would do. They would not allow, they tied his hands, would not allow that. But yes, part and parcel of what we see taking place today with the transsexual movement, the homosexual movement, with the COVID movement, with the injections, is for birth control, for the sterilization, for the reduction of the planet's population. There is a satanic, demonic goal behind much of these things, dovetailing into and connecting with the thought that we need to reduce the population around the globe. Bill Gates and others have said that we need to reduce the population by at least a billion people around the globe. So this is the reason we're finding death today more than in the history of the world. This is the reason with the COVID research that I've done, according to one article, 17 million people around the world have died from the COVID injection alone, not counting those that were murdered in the hospitals with so-called having the COVID pathogen. But the bottom line is, Kenneth, that we're looking at today a deflection of, a deferral of, a distancing from, and a total destruction of anything that would be called biblical morals and ethics and values.
Yes.
We're in the wild, wild west of immoral, ungodly, unethical, unholy lifestyles and living in our society today. So nothing surprises me anymore. It saddens me, but nothing surprises me. I'm looking at an article here, Kenneth, and I'll let you touch on this before our news break. It says Tennessee trans laws is constitutional and necessary. The left can't handle the truth. Nearly 90% of the trans children stick with biological gender and adults, and Tennessee law affirms that. The bottom line is the law in Tennessee that was passed was that you cannot, a doctor, a nurse, a hospital cannot try to transition a child from one sex to the other. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that the law is valid, that the law stands. And this article says the federal courts have spoken. Tennessee law protecting children from transgender treatment is constitutional, according to the appeals court ruling on it. So, Kenneth, we've got about 40 seconds before our time is up for our hard break. What do you say?
I wanted to ask you one more question.
All right.
Do you think we're in the birth pains because everybody is hating Israel, even in the United States?
We're in the midst of it, and when it comes to the war in the Middle East, and it is a Middle Eastern war, it's not just Israel, when it comes to the Middle Eastern war, the only thing that's kept the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, from entering in by foot soldiers into Gaza is because behind the scenes, we have Joe Biden telling Benjamin Netanyahu that they cannot go in, they need to wait, they need to wait, and they're pushing the home, the need for food and clothing and shelter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're watching the spark of World War III being carried out in the Middle East. So, Kenneth, all we can do is keep praying, keep looking up. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the one-minute top-of-the-hour news break. Right after the news, we'll continue. Let's face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have agreed to a continued flow of aid into Gaza. Israel imposed a blockade on Gaza after the Hamas terror attack just over 2 weeks ago. Israeli warplanes struck targets all across Gaza overnight, with more than 300 sites hit. The United States vowing to defend the Philippines in the event of an attack. This after Chinese ships blocked and collided with two Filipino vessels in the disputed South China Sea. The search for a permanent Speaker of the House resumes this week. More than 2 weeks after Kevin McCarthy was ousted from the post, nine Republicans have declared their candidacy for the Speaker's job. On Wall Street, the Dow down 46 points. The NASDAQ is trading 6 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe needs to grasp our attention. We need to understand, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to understand what is happening, the dynamics of it all, and recognize that it counters the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're talking about the meltdown of morals in America. And if you want to put a subtitle to the issue at hand today, we're talking about Andy Stanley's defection from biblical Christianity. Yes, he's still in the pulpit. Yes, he's still pastoring, but he has defected from biblical Christianity based on his moral standard today, the moral standard that he has embraced, the position that he's taken with the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. Listen, not only is he and that church promulgating the embracing of the sodomite lifestyle, but the celebration of it. The celebration of it. Just had a 2-day conference in his church. Two of the main speakers were two men married to each other, living a lifestyle in defiance of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And yet he contends that they are Christians, they love Jesus. He contends, Andy Stanley, contends that a person can be a sodomite, he didn't use that term, I do, a homosexual, a gay person, by the way, there's no such thing as gay in the scripture. God didn't use the term homosexual in the scripture. Sodom and sodomites used 38 times in the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, Andy Stanley not only embraces it, but celebrates it. Celebrates that which the Bible calls sin. We're going to talk about that in more detail during the course of this broadcast. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're watching the meltdown of morals in our nation. Students in school, if they do not comply with the standard today of the immoral, ungodly, unholy thought and thesis and pushing of the fluidity of genders, if they say there's just two genders, they're expelled from school, they're chided, challenged, and are condemned in their school. If a student simply reads the Bible, there is a condemnation of that. I'm looking at a headline, simply for reading the Bible, police detained four young Christians at a drag queen event. And the article is very, very clear. Four young men standing on the sidewalk as a drag queen show is taking place. And they're simply reading the scripture, reading the Bible aloud, and they're arrested. It's in Watertown, Wisconsin. They were preaching the gospel, this article says, at a public drag queen show focusing on children. Organizers of the city's annual event known as Pride in the Park advertised the show as being held in the public park, and it was family-friendly, so-called. And because these young men were taking a stand biblically, they were condemned, they were chided, they were arrested as a result of simply reading. We're talking about the meltdown of morals in America. I don't know of anything that would show any greater meltdown than for there to be a castigating and condemning and a sense of persecution and prosecution of those that will take a central biblicist worldview of what the Bible says in relationship to morals and ethics and values. I'm looking at an article. A Christian student was suspended for 3 days for telling the classmate about Jesus. This is absolutely appalling, this writer says, ACLJ, J. Seculo. This is absolutely appalling. If this can happen in one school, it can happen in every single school across America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening on a national level. It is happening on a wholesale basis. It is taking place, being promulgated and pushed in the schools, grade school, middle school, and high school. It's being pushed in colleges and universities. This immoral, ungodly, unholy approach is being pushed today in just about every category, including our military and every facet and every division of the federal government as never in the history of America. We're witnessing today the depletion, the denial, the rejection, the refusal for anything that's called moral standards. I'm gravely concerned about what we see taking place, ladies and gentlemen. There are those today that will contend that homosexuality is not wrong. Love to hear from you. Is it wrong or right? Is homosexuality biblical or unbiblical? Does God judge and call sin that which is called homosexuality? The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What is your position? What are your thoughts? What are your questions? Do you believe that pastors, preachers, teachers, Christian churches, you believe that there should be a stand taken? Do you believe that we need to take a stand and identify it, call sin, sin? If so, is your church doing that? Does your pastor take a public stand on what is sin, biblically speaking? Does your pastor take a stand on what are today being couched and categorized as political issues? Ladies and gentlemen, God created three institutions. God created the home. He created government. He created the church, and in that order. And anything that we deal with, whether it's the home, the church, or what is called the political arena, civil government, that's all biblical. And it's time, I believe, that we as Christians, we as pastors, I think it's time that pastors come out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and take a stand. I'm looking at an article that says, most Christians are wrong. Listen to what this article says. Most Christians are wrong. Homosexuality is not sin, this writer says. Let me just read you a little bit from the article. If it weren't so sad, it'd be comical. I'm not called the young man's name. This article does. He's a 22-year-old gay Christian who believes that being gay is not sin. He came to that conclusion after 2 years of studying the scripture and the works of dozens of biblical scholars. The Harvard, this should tell it all, the Harvard University student currently is on leave of absence, is now trying to win over fellow believers, not just with an emotional testimony, but with what he is presenting as biblically solid arguments that homosexuality is not sin. Quote, he says, there's no contradiction between being Christian and being gay, he told the BBC News. In an interview with the Christian Post, this young man made it clear that he believes that Christians who believe homosexuality is sin are wrong. Loving same-sex relationships are not addressed in the Bible, he said, let alone they're not condemned at all, he argues. End quote. I believe we have Cheryl on the line. Cheryl, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I've been a school teacher now for 27 years. I retired for a year because it was so bad. But then I felt like God wanted me back around these kids as a bright light to say exactly what you're saying. And I think these kids and everybody, if we would tell them there is AIDS and you die from having multiple sex partners and being gay. And a lot of these kids, you know, everybody encourages them to do this stuff, but they don't tell them when you have the transitional surgery, you're not going to be able to have sex ever. Mm-hmm. So you might have the part, but nothing's going to function. And with mm-hmm. AIDS, you're going to die eventually. It's biblically wrong. And so I hear a lot of talk about teachers, but I want y'all to know there are a lot of us that are still in this profession that are trying to spread God's word and steer these kids in the right direction, because it's coming. There's a war on our kids. They want our kids.
Amen. Cheryl, you're exactly right, and you touched it right on the nail head, if you will. There's a war on our kids. There's a war, generally speaking, against anything that's moral, ethically, and biblically correct, but a war on the kids. And I think I need to ask you the question from an academic educational standpoint and your background professionally. Do you see that war on kids being carried out by the, quote, academic leadership as a whole, not the few good teachers as you, but as a whole, do you find that the war on these kids are being promulgated and carried out by those that are in charge of the kids in the classrooms and in the educational system?
I'll be honest, the school I'm at, I do not see this. I don't. We have no – I'm 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I taught high school for 25 years, and they're so far gone at by the 9th or 10th grade level with their phone, they won't even look at you anymore. They won't look, make eye contact. So I came back to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and the school that I'm at, nobody's promoting that at all, and you don't see any of these kids. They don't even talk about it. So this school that I'm at, this little small town I'm in, I do not see it. I really think, you know, it has a lot to do with the adults in charge. We had a counselor that used
Absolutely.
To kind of promote it, and she had it on her door, you know, I don't even know how to say it, LBGQ+. So she had it on her door, but she's no longer here, and it's crazy because just without that one person here, we don't hear anything about it. But when you go to the counselor's office and on her door, she has something – because a kid will use anything to get out of class anyway. So half the time, they didn't even know what it meant. But if they engage in that conversation with her, of course, she would have promoted it. But she's gone now. So we don't have this year, no boys are dressing up like a girl. No girls are dressing up like a boy. Nobody wants to be called a name that's not them. But I'll be honest, I've been teaching 27 years. So the whole thing about dressing like a girl, this probably started happening about 10 years ago.
Right.
And I would tell my kids, I'm like, these adults that are promoting this behavior, they're not going to tell y'all there's a target on your back. You can't wear a skirt down MLK Boulevard and expect on your way home nobody's going to try to hurt you. So they would promote them at school, at the high school level, to do these things. And this has been 10 years ago. But now I feel like it's kind of changing. But I'm at a middle school. Like I said, I'm not at the high school anymore. So here at this school, I do not, you know, there is hope. I don't see that agenda being pushed where I'm at currently. No, we preach, if the kid even brings up anything about it, I preach abstinence. Y'all are young. You will get a disease. You know, nobody's saying that. If you, when you have sex with multiple people, you're going to get a disease.
That's right.
Whether you're gay
Cheryl, I commend you for your stand, and I pray that your influence will be as salt and light in your church, in your school, that you will be the shining light and the salt to preserve. So thank you for your call. Thank you for your stand.
Thank you.
And all I can say is,
if it weren't for you, I could not be the way I am. And the other preachers I listen to.
Thank you so much for that. And as I say jokingly, but yet seriously, may your tribe increase. We need more teachers like you. Cheryl, thank you so much. God bless you. And as we keep looking up, realizing that we're in a close position of being snatched out of this old world with the world situation as it is today. I'm looking at a news article, ladies and gentlemen, that I think is kind of telling. This one is where many people, this is where some theologians, some Christians take the stand. Why do we still consider homosexuality a sin? If many of the Old Testament laws have been abrogated, this writer says, this in part is what he says. To abrogate something means to repeal something, or for simply to do away with it, or that it will go away. Many of the Old Testament Mosaic laws have been fulfilled, not abrogated, not repealed, but fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's a very important point, this writer says. No, now, not all of those have been fulfilled in the sense that some of them continue. When it comes to sexual ethics in the Bible, we have to understand that they are rooted in creation. Listen, may I pause for a moment, digress from this writer. They're rooted in creation. They are rooted in God's ordering of creation. In creating male and female, man and woman, Jesus appeals to the creation ordinance and the apostolic teachings of the New Testament appeal to the creation ordinance pertaining to all matters of sexual relation and sexual identity. When it comes to homosexuality, we need to understand that homosexuality and homosexual activities are sin. Homosexual lust are sin. Homosexual desires are sin. And now that's how the Bible speaks of them. The Bible doesn't whisper about them. The Bible speaks plainly and clearly about them throughout the Old Testament in places like Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, Genesis 19, and later on in Judges, but also in the New Testament, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy 1. It makes it clear that homosexual activity is, in fact, sin. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm building the argument, the defense, the position to let us understand that we have a problem today with those in biblical leadership, Christian pastoral leadership, that somehow, some way, want to take the position, as progressive Christianity would have it, that somehow, some way, you can embrace sin. Look at another headline, what the Bible really says about homosexuality. Authors of the Bible came from different times, different places, social stratas, and cultural expressions, yet the message of the Bible is unified throughout the Scripture. Its prohibition of homosexual practice, the unity of this message should tell us that it is something that God has not changed his mind about. And we need to pay attention very carefully. Let's remember that God intends good for us and for our lives. And often the prohibitions in the Bible God gives us for our own protection. This writer then says, the Bible tells us that the practice of homosexuality is sin. It is something that God forbids and has repeatedly stated throughout all of the Scripture, and outside the plan for human expression of sexuality, homosexuality is sin. And ladies and gentlemen, Franklin Graham, not too long ago, made the statement of the eternal peril, that's the title, eternal peril, P-E-R-I-L, of progressive Christianity. And progressive Christianity today is on the move. Progressive Christianity basically is outside the norms of central biblical Christianity. there is a mindset somehow that you can simply preach and teach something other than the truth of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and somehow it is all right. I'm looking at the article. For decades, war has been raging against biblical Christianity that goes under the seemingly innocent name of progressive Christianity. It has cropped up in halls of seminaries, infiltrated the pulpits of thousands of churches, and propagated by a godless liberal media. It's bent on casting doubt and undermining the fundamental foundational principles of the Word of God. Progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired, authoritative truth of the Bible as it interacts with every facet of life. And Graham goes on, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, turning to a different gospel. He's paraphrasing Galatians chapter 1, and that unit of thought is verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. But ladies and gentlemen, Andy Stanley can no longer be considered a Christian pastor based on the authority of the Scripture. It's an impossibility. Andy Stanley has defected from the Christian faith. I'm looking at a headline. Andy Stanley's sermon on LGBTQ plus issues evokes condemnation and praise. This writer says, Andy Stanley's sermon Sunday, this is this past Sunday, sought to clarify his stance on LGBTQ issues, is evoking condemnation from non-affirming Christian leaders and praise from ones that affirm same-sex relationships. You would expect that. This article says, Pastor Andy, you've got to do better. You've got to make some radical changes to be in full conformity with the will, the heart, and the mind of God as a pastor and as a shepherd. Let's reach those who are hurting, and let's also rebuke sin and call sin, sin, as it is. Similarly, Dr. Al Mohler, M-O-H-L-E-R, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, wrote an op-ed in response to Stanley's sermon. Quote, Dr. Mohler says about Andy Stanley, this is not biblical Christianity. It's Andy Stanley's own invention and is not plausible at all. It is something new. It is something completely irrevocably and without the gospel, without any discipline of the Scripture and discipleship of the holiness of God, end quote. Mohler, in an earlier op-ed, accused Andy Stanley of departing from biblical Christianity. I can't make it any clearer. Andy Stanley's openly embracing the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. Listen, Andy Stanley says that you can be an active, aggressive, passionate Christian, and still live a homosexual lifestyle. I'm looking at an article. Andy Stanley defends his controversial LGBTQ conference, and critics respond, anti-Christian. This article is dated October the 3rd. Andy Stanley, the pastor of an Atlanta-based megachurch, spoke out from his pulpit Sunday after he had led a controversial two-day seminar geared toward supporting parents of LGBTQ children and in their churches. The North Point Community Church pastor addressed the unconditional conference during his Sunday message, which was not live-streamed. They normally live-stream. He knows how controversial it is, so therefore they didn't live-stream. Anyway, here's the article. Among the critics was Al Mohler, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Mohler argued that Stanley's departure from the biblical understanding of sexuality, which sees marriage as a covenant between one man and one woman for life. Quote, Mohler then goes on in his briefing. This is from it. Al Mohler is saying, as a theologian, I just feel a responsibility to say that what this represents is a departure from the historic normative biblical Christianity. I think both sides understand this is the most basic disagreement we could imagine, so are sex and gender. It's over Scripture, the authority of Scripture, the interpretation of Scripture. It's over God and the gospel. Listen, Al Mohler is saying that Andy Stanley's position is contrary to basic biblical Christianity. It is contrary to what the Scripture says. It is contrary to the authority of Scripture. What Andy Stanley is doing is in contradiction to the interpretation of Scripture. It is in contradiction to what God says and what the gospel says. Furthermore, another article, portion of the article, the Georgia pastor reportedly said, never subscribe to Al Mohler's version of biblical Christianity. Listen, Andy Stanley says, I've never subscribed to Al Mohler's version of biblical Christianity. I don't know how it could be any more horrifically stated. Andy Stanley is saying, I reject biblical Christianity because Al Mohler's position is true centrality of the Word of God in biblical Christianity. And yet here is Andy Stanley saying, I've never subscribed to Al Mohler's position on biblical Christianity. Andy Stanley goes on to chide Al Mohler's position on biblical Christianity. He says, this version of biblical Christianity is why people are leaving Christianity unnecessarily. It is the version of Christianity that causes people to reject and resist the Christian faith because they can't find Jesus in the midst of all of their other stuff and all of the other theology and all of the other complexity, and gets glommed onto the message, his bottom line. The version of Christianity draws lines, you see. He goes on to say, Christianity draws lines, and he says, and Jesus drew circles. The preacher, Andy Stanley, continued. He drew circles so large that he included so many people in his circle that it consistently made religious leaders nervous, end quote. Stanley went on to explain that he supports the view of biblical marriage between a man and a woman, but applied the qualifiers to that statement, making his exact stance on the matter somewhat unclear, to say the least. Although Dr. Mohler, has not yet addressed Andy Stanley's latest statements from the pulpit, other Christian leaders have responded to it. For example, one pastor said, he's the president of the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, wrote Sunday, Stanley's view is subversively anti-Christian. The message is anti-Christian because it tells unrepentant sinners that they can inherit the kingdom of God, a message that the Bible roundly contradicts. He explained that this article is also incorrect because it stands against the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, Andy Stanley's position is that you can be a sodomite and still go to heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely unequivocally incorrect. When you study the scripture and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, know you not that that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. One of the things listed, ladies and gentlemen, in the 10 the identifiers in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, those that will not go to heaven are those that are effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. Both of these terms identify those that are called homosexuals. Then when you look at Romans chapter 1, you find verse 24 and following that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, Romans says. And what does it mean, a reprobate mind? Corrupt, immoral, sinful, shameless, degenerate, evil, wicked, damned, profligate, debauched, desolate. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't tell me that Andy Stanley is preaching and teaching biblical Christianity today. And I'm thankful to understand that multitudes have said they're leaving his church because of it. I would be embarrassed to identify myself as a Christian and identify with the pulpit messages from Andy Stanley and the position of embracing the sodomite lifestyle and celebrating that lifestyle as a church, as a movement, and as a pastoral leader. I am embarrassed for him and for what it's doing to the Christian community. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.1.